Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I am your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm delighted with our guest today. I have with me Brian Cohen. He is a two-time USA Today best-selling author. Brian loves keeping up with the publishing world through the Sell More Book Show. As the CEO of Best Page Forward, Brian and his team have written over 2,000 book descriptions. Brian's books have sold over 100,000 copies. It is my pleasure to welcome Brian to our show today.
Hey, Belinda. Happy to be here.
Well, thanks so much. Well, I'm always interested in learning more about book sales, as I know many of our listeners are as well. So I'm sure this is going to be a great show today. Why don't we start out by filling in some of the gaps from your bio and just tell us a little bit more about yourself and about how your journey, you know, how you got where you are today.
Sure. Well, like a lot of people out in the internet world, I did start with blogging. I was actually blogging for writers back in 2008. I had a temp job where I was answering phones on Christmas week for some company I can't even remember anymore. And I had been talking about blogging, talking about starting to kind of share what I knew, trying to research more about the writing world and motivating people to write. And I sat down there, started my blog, posted my first posts, and it was a really exciting time to be trying something new. And when I was collecting all of these posts, creating all of these things, I found that, hey, there were a few things, a few topics that tended to come up more often than not. And I ended up writing books based on the blog posts that I had posted on that blog. And one of those books ended up doing fairly well. I had published it to Amazon using Amazon's Kindle Direct publishing platform, which was huge back in 2010, and people were finally getting to put their words out into the world without any gatekeepers. And I loved that. I loved it so much. I started trying to spread the good word about it, created a podcast about it, the Sell More Book Show, and really started connecting with a lot of wonderful authors out there. There's tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of authors out there trying to make things happen. And so the last few years have really been trying to do everything I can in my business to try to help authors who are other folks trying to work from their happy place as well to have more success and be able to achieve the goals they're hoping for.
Well, that is exciting. And I think that it's important for people listening. I think sometimes people get caught up in, oh, you know, they must have been doing this forever. And literally, like you said, you were doing a job you can't even remember in a call center. And that was 10 years ago. So I think that people can, and 10 years goes by in a flash. You know what I mean? 5 years goes by in a flash. It's like people that are deciding to do something different need to just say, I'm stepping out on it now, because the next thing you know, they're living what could be a much better life for themselves if they would step out on that and take that risk. And I think a lot of people look at other people and say, oh, they've never experienced that, or it must have always come easy. And I love it that 10 years ago, you were absolutely doing something you didn't care about doing at all.
And before that, I was a Starbucks barista. I mean, they're definitely started from the bottom. Now I'm here, certainly.
That is awesome. Totally awesome. Great. So, so can you share with us, you said one of your books has done a really great success. What book was that?
So my first book was 1,000 creative writing prompts, which was ideas for blog script stories and more. And this actually drew from what my happy place was. One of the reasons I was doing a bunch of temporary work before this was because I come from an improv comedy background. And
oh, fun.
That was why I was in Chicago and why I remain in Chicago. I loved doing comedy, being up on stage in front of people, making people laugh. And the concept behind a book of creative writing prompts, basically one or two sentence story starters to try to jog your brain to get in that creative space. I essentially was writing ideas for scenes, for improv scenes. That was what that book was. And after having done improv for a handful of years to that point, that was kind of what was on the brain. And so it turned out that one of the things I had been learning, and improv, like theater, it's one of those things. You get a few people who have big success with it, and then a lot of people who pay a lot of money to try to learn it. It's a great industry for the people who are teaching those things and right. running those theaters. Not necessarily for the students themselves, but I learned from all of that work, and I was able to put that into practice. And so I took what I'd been studying at great expense, and I was able to find a way to turn that into something with that first book of writing prompts.
That is awesome. That is a really great story. And I think that should be extremely inspirational to anyone listening, because I think people also might have looked at that like you went down that path and it was a failure. But in reality, every single thing that we do is a learning experience, and it's up to us to take those learning experiences and turn them into what we want them to become.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how the business has shaped your lifestyle today.
Sure. Well, I a few years back, this was after my wife and I got married, but before we had our wonderful two-year-old, current two-year-old, she wasn't two years old when she was born. That would have been weird. But I was definitely really trying to make the work for myself life function. My wife has a 9-to-5 job. She's more of a 9-to-5 person. I'm more of a work from home person. And I've called myself unemployable at times. Really, that's not what it is. I just kind of like being the person in charge. And I'd tried several things. I'd done kind of some courses, and I'd played around with, and my books were doing fairly well, but they weren't necessarily making ends meet. So I was doing a lot of freelance work at the time. And I was part of a mastermind, for those of you who don't know. It's basically a group of like-minded people all trying to share ideas and help each other succeed. And one thing I was talking about was I was doing all this freelance, but it wasn't necessarily where I wanted it to be. It wasn't necessarily my joy. It wasn't my happy place. And I, one of the other members of the mastermind, he suggested, well, you love doing this stuff for authors. You have the blog about it. You have a podcast. What if you found a way to do freelance writing for authors and you ran it all yourself as opposed to taking these gigs? And I said, oh, that's a great idea. And I'd been fortunate enough. I'd created sales pages before. I was familiar enough with PayPal that I could create a button. And on my blog and through my podcast, I said, hey, I'm going to start doing freelance for authors. I decided upon writing book descriptions, which are the descriptions that show up on the back of a book. And in the online world, they're the descriptions that show up on those sales pages on Amazon or Kobo or wherever you're buying a book. And there was a huge response. I think 100 people, or at least there were 100 orders, because some people bought multiple descriptions. 100 orders came through in just the first 30 days.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, it was awesome. And It was crazy. And that ended up becoming the centerpiece for my business. And so fast forwarding a few years later, I have several people on my team and we have systems developed. So I'm not doing all of the work. And so I get out of the house and start working around 8:30. I go to my local Whole Foods and all the cashiers know me now. And I start working on the writing work in the morning, the marketing and company type work in the afternoon. And I did forget, my wife and I drop off our daughter at daycare before that. And then in the afternoon, I'm always there to pick up my daughter and spend the evenings with her. And it's something I wouldn't trade for the world.
Well, that is awesome. Thanks. There was lots of little great learning points in there again. So I hope our listeners are paying attention. That was great. What are some of your greatest skill sets that you think have really contributed to owning your own business?
Well, I am a writer and I, over my freelance and then running my business, Best Page Forward, I have really honed my copywriting skills. And man, in a world where you need to create sales pages and you need to create ads, it really helps to be a good copywriter.
Yes.
And write emails, of course, as well to your email list. It's really helpful. And so using that skill has helped me to get more customers, find new customers, and to appeal better to the customers I already have. So that's one of my superpowers that I've been able to hone. And the other thing is a lot of authors and a lot of people who teach authors are more introverted. And the fact that I've been on stage, the fact that I know how to talk to people, that I know how to make people have fun and enjoy hearing from me, I've been able to hone that in order to make deeper connections with people. I just got off stage from running a 3-day event with a couple of other guys in the self-publishing world. And to be able to be on stage, to be able to make those connections, to be able to teach things better such that the authors do find more success after they leave our event, that has definitely been a superpower that I have been able to use and that has really helped my followers, my customers, that helped them to find more success as well.
Fantastic. So share with us then an outstanding accomplishment or something that you've achieved that's super meaningful for you.
I would say that it's great to be able to help other authors find their success, their happy place. It's been great to help other authors to make more sales and for them to be super happy. You love those emails where people are just really, really happy with the work you do. But I love the little successes I've been able to have to see my own books. They're in the publishing world on Amazon. When your book hits number one in a category, you get a little orange tag. It says number one in this category. And whenever I'm able to be the number one best-selling book in that category at any given time, I was just running a promotion for some of my novels. And to be able to have a set of novels that are the number one best-selling teen and young adult superhero fiction book at that given time, it's just a really cool feeling to be having readers picking up your book, reading the words that you painstakingly fought over, the blood, sweat, and tears. It's awesome. And I love being able to make those achievements with my books, and I think those really mean a lot to me.
Fantastic. So would you like to share with us then a challenge or obstacle that you went through and then how you worked yourself through that?
Well, I think one thing all of us work from home, work from being happier type people deal with is piling too many tasks on top of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was just kind of me, a guy in a room, just this to solopreneur trying to run the whole show myself, there would be times where I would be too overwhelmed. And I remember there being a week where I was trying to finish two novels and trying to run a big promotion for one of the books and trying to just run my own book description business at the same time. And when all of that was happening at once, I got overwhelmed and I got exhausted. And I realized at that time I needed more help. I did need to have someone helping me with the load. And I did find some wonderful people to start working with my team. And I think that having really awesome people to help you, which are hard to find, having those awesome people to help me manage the workload is so key. And I think every time I talk to people who've hired people to help them, they all say the same thing. I should have done it earlier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm so glad that I found the help and got those people on board when I did.
Oh, that's great. I think that that is a very difficult decision for people who start out as entrepreneurs, you know, solopreneurs, and they have this idea and they're kind of going along and then it starts to grow and they're just really not sure, what do I let go of? How do I go about hiring someone? And there's just so many things, even if it's just specific tasks or if it's the things that don't bring as much value. I think this is one of the greatest challenges for people is, when do I do it? When is the right time? And what am I supposed to let go of? And those two things are challenging. It's the two questions I get asked a lot. And then I think that people feel like, oh, you have to, you know, pay someone a lot in order to have someone work for you. And we've been very successful for the last several years. I have a staff of six, but for the last several years, we have gotten a co-op student each year. And so it's been awesome because we don't have to pay them as high of a rate. We do pay them. They get school credits. They come and they learn about business, and we can give them the tasks like data entry or, you know, things that you don't want to spend your time doing, and you don't necessarily want to pay an executive salary to someone for doing that. So there's so many different ways of working through that that I think people, and there's virtual assistants, I think, that people aren't aware of, and then they consequently just keep putting it off.
Yeah. And I think when you have, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, you have those myths that, well, it costs too much, or, well, it's too hard to find somebody, then that holds you up. And then there's just more days and days where you're teetering on the edge of burnout. And
yep.
That's worse than not having help.
It sure really is. Yes. Great. So what does working from your happy place mean to you? You've kind of alluded to it a little bit, but it's our big question of the show. And so we'll ask it again.
Of course. Well, I think that working from my happy place is really all about getting to prioritize the things that truly matter to me. And that is, everyone always says, like, of course, that's, you know, family and your spouse. And I totally agree. I think that being able to pick up my daughter at daycare, being able to, my wife and I have been starting this new tradition because we have to pay for daycare whether or not our daughter goes in. So she's sick for a week. Yeah, we're still paying for daycare. But we can use that to our advantage, where if our daughter is well, she can go into daycare. my wife at her 9-to-5 job can take a paid day off of work, and I can rearrange my schedule so we get to go on a day date. We get to spend the whole day together, my wife and I, and we finally get to talk and it not just be about parenting or work. And those are just beautiful things that working for myself, working with the happiness stuff in mind mm-hmm. allows me to do. So being able to prioritize those things are great, but also creating room in my schedule to be able to do the things that bring me joy. I love that I got to plan the event that I just finished, where I got to be on stage. The improv bug in me loves to have a microphone in my hand. And in our internet-based world, we don't always get an opportunity for that, mm-hmm. for connecting with people live, and the fact that I run a business where enough people trust me that they're willing to pay for a plane ticket and a hotel room to come out and see me and hear from me and hear from the people we're able to gather together. That just is so wonderful. And we are to be able to prioritize the aspects of work that you love and to be able to choose that life more often. And don't get me wrong. There's a lot of things I do on a day-to-day basis that are very difficult and that I don't love. And so it's not all peaches and cream, certainly, right. but to be able to create the opportunities every so often to do that is just awesome.
And I appreciate you sharing that because I don't think everybody always does, and it's not honest, but it doesn't also mean that you're not working from your happy place. Like, yeah. There's certainly days where I have things that I don't enjoy doing, or I'd rather maybe be doing another aspect of my business, but it is part of what I've agreed to do, or is part of what I do and kind of goes along with the job. And the reality of it is I do get to create those other experiences when I choose to do them. Or if I choose that I don't want a particular client any longer for whatever reason, I can choose that too. But I think it's really important for people to understand. I hear a lot of people say, I'll do it till it's not fun anymore. And it's like, well, you know what? That's kind of a myth a little bit because, man, there's days with any job, whether you're an entrepreneur or you work for somebody else or whatever the case is, that it isn't going to be as much fun as you'd love it to be. But it's the overall experience of the control that you have, I think, in doing what you really enjoy is what keeps everything moving.
I absolutely agree. There are going to be tougher days than others, and you just do your best with those. You find your systems, you find your people, and you keep plugging along. And when you need a break,
you take
a break.
That's the best advice right there. This has been awesome. So what advice would you give to those wanting to be entrepreneurs? And then I'm going to go down a little rabbit hole with you on this, but I want you to answer that part of it first. So what advice would you be giving to people that say, you know, I've kind of got this bug in me, or I know I can do something more or better. I'd like my life to be a little bit different. How do I go about making that happen?
Well, I love what the startup world talks about with the minimum viable product. I think that when you have an idea, you can kind of go out there and play with it without leaving your day job. I didn't stop doing everything else when I started doing book descriptions. I didn't, when I had my blog up, I didn't stop going to temp jobs. Like, I was still doing what I was doing for money, but I was playing around with, kind of playing in the sandbox with some of these ideas. And you don't have to go all in right away. It's totally possible to play with an idea, ask around, learn what you can about it. One of the things I love is I hear about these entrepreneurs who are still making money from their job, So they're able to say, go to a conference about entrepreneurship, go to a meetup where they learn this stuff when they maybe don't, they're not as financially all in, when they maybe can't afford that sort of stuff anymore. I think I was just one at the conference. I was just running. One of the speakers who was working for a Fortune 150 company, she later became a USA Today best-selling fantasy author. You know, those connect. Yeah. Right. One right and the other. But she, on her kind of on her company's dime, she went to a big event about social media marketing. And learned about it through that. And that kind of gave her the ideas of what she could do to market herself as an author. So I would say use the money you have at your regular job and use that to fuel your idea as kind of in a hobby capacity. It's okay to be in a hobby capacity for a while. Mm-hmm. You have a little more leeway, but that doesn't mean don't quit your day job right away, but also don't quit your hobby right away either.
That's great advice. So let me ask you this. This is where we're going to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole on this question. For somebody out there right now that feels like, I think I have a book in me, or I would love to write a book, what advice would you give them as first steps?
Well, I think that if you are writing a book to write a book, I would say do kind of the research on how people tend to write books like yours. If it's a novel, look up things about writing a novel. If it's a nonfiction book or a memoir, look up things about writing a nonfiction book or a memoir, and then use that. Like, if it's just about the book and you don't have any hopes, dreams about bestseller lists or earning a living from it, do not worry about any of the marketing what's it, because there's a lot of marketing what's it out there. And it's going to be, it's a whole nother rabbit hole you don't necessarily need to go down. So I would, it starts with a simple Google search. Maybe it goes on to ordering a book on Amazon and looking about that book. And definitely it involves reading books like the one you want to write. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you are wanting to write a fantasy novel, go on Amazon, go to a Barnes & Noble, order 3 fantasy novels and read them, because you're going to learn a lot. A lot of people kind of start from scratch and they maybe don't have a feel for what the product they're trying to put out there is. But if they go down that effort, they can see, oh, I shouldn't do this. There's red flag number one. I shouldn't do that. And I think that those kind of things can be more helpful. If you're trying to write a book and you want to be a big time marketer and get the book out there and sell a million copies, that's a different story. It's going to take a lot more research. It's doable too, but I think regardless, going out there, reading some books like the one you want to write, and then reading some info on how people tend to do it is essential. I love the attitude of just kind of starting and seeing what happens, but sometimes that can get us in a little bit of trouble.
Okay. All right. So are you have anything exciting or new that you're working on? And then let our listeners know how they can find you.
Sure. Well, I recently started a new podcast for authors who are interested in the marketing side of things. It's called Relentless Authors Advertise, and it goes into how authors can use paid advertising on platforms like Amazon to earn more from their books. So authors who already have books out there, that's a little bit more for them. But I do have the podcast I've already been running every week which is the Sell More Book Show, where we talk about publishing news. We recently passed episode 266 over the course of 5 years. And I think we recently passed 800,000 downloads. So it's very exciting to be able to connect with the community every week on that. So I would suggest hunting me down on platforms like that. And I think it'll be very exciting to continue to share what I'm learning in the marketing trenches as I continue to learn through there.
Very good. And I just want to say thanks so much for being on our call today. You had some really great gold nuggets that I hope our listeners will go back to and listen to again. If you're listening to the podcast for the very first time, we really want to encourage you to subscribe to it because we're always bringing you really great podcasts like the ones that you heard today. And leave us a review. We always appreciate that. So, Brian, thanks so much for taking the time today to enlighten our listeners. I know that there's many people out there that just kind of are looking maybe for a different direction to go with what they're doing, and you gave some great advice on that. And to check out your website and check out your resources for those that really are thinking about authoring a book and what steps that they ought to take. So thank you so much for sharing with us today.
You're so welcome, and I really appreciate you having me on the show, Belinda. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.